You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Pastor Jim is teaching verse by verse through the book of Luke. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to worship with us, we have service times and directions available on our church's website at calvarychapelkc.com. You can also call the church office at 913-681-1635. Now, let's join Pastor Jim in today's study.
Being humble. Okay, the thought is, if you don't walk in humility, the Lord will help you. How's that? If you choose humility, it's better for you than if you choose to do it your way and God helps you become humble. Either way, you're going to be humbled. Either way. You might as well choose it for yourself and let God be glorified in and through it. And then he talks to the one who invited, and he says to him who invited him, the host, "When you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, nor rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid." This concept of how you do things to get something back. Again, it's about position. It's about trying to get something for what you're doing. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, and the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. And so he says, hey, how about you get an eternal perspective? How about you grab an eternal perspective on what it really means to do something for somebody else? So if you do something for somebody, and then you make sure that everybody knows what you did for somebody, you have your reward. That's what Jesus says. Now, if you do something and you just do it and you leave it at that, and no one knows what you've done, so you have reward in eternity. I guess it depends upon where you want to lay up your treasure. Jesus said we are to lay up our treasure where moth and rust cannot destroy. So we send it ahead. Can't take it with us, but we can send it ahead. And so we can send things ahead into eternity. And he says here, man, do something for those who can't do anything back for you. In other words, don't be always doing something to get the favor returned. We're to be cautious with this because there's always this idea of reciprocation. And he's trying to say, that's not necessarily what the desire is. Their motive there in being, you know, showing hospitality isn't really right, is it? And Jesus brings correction. Now, one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things and says to him, now this is the guy that kind of jumped in and spoke, you know, just kind of interrupts and speaks something out of turn. He heard all these things and he says, "Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." And basically, he's trying to acknowledge like, yeah, we're all Jews here. We've got eternity wrapped up. They believed that. They believed they were the only ones that could be saved. Again, this guy's listened to the whole dialogue, and yet he's still hung up on phase one of the religiosity of it. And then he listens on a little further to the couple of other issues that are there, and he says, well, wait a minute. You know, we're all going to be there thinking that all of them would be in this eternal thing. And I guess he's maybe trying to turn the tables on the subject a little bit, the subject matter. And he's trying to change things up. He says, well, blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Yeah, that's all of us. So this is awesome. Let's move on. And then Jesus said to him, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. And so what they would do is they would have this big party, this big gathering, a big feast time, and they would plan this great supper. And as they planned this great supper, they would go out because, you know, how would they know exactly when supper time is going to be ready? How would they know that? They don't know. Because, you know, there's a lot of food preparation going on. There's a lot of things happening. You know, all of our stuff that we have today, all of our ability to, you know, keep things warm in the oven and all this, all the things that we could do, this is all modern stuff. They were putting things together. They were killing the calf, killing the goat, killing the, you know, they had to do all this stuff to get everything prepped out to get it ready to go. And so once it was all ready, the servants would go out running around and knocking on the little doors and saying, hey, everything's ready. Come on over, man. Time to start. The party's going to begin. Come on over. We're about to start eating. And so they'd run around and gather everybody together. And so this sets the stage for what we would see. He sent his servant at supper time to say to all those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. And so this is common practice. They understood this clearly. But they all with one accord began to make excuses. Give reasons why it wasn't convenient now, all of a sudden. They were invited, but they were taking for granted the invitation. Just stay with that thought. They're taking for granted the invitation to what they've been invited to. They started to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must go and see it. I ask that you have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to test them. I ask to have me excused. Still another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. All of these things are, I would say, pretty common excuses. I don't think it's brand new. I think it's just human excuses. Hey, I've got business dealings to do. I've bought some new, tools or some new stuff, or I've got a new job and I've got to get to that, or, you know, I'm married now, so I just don't, you know, my time's not my own and I can't. Again, priorities, priorities, priorities. You know, what's really our priority? When we look at what Jesus has done for us, what is it that is too much for us to do in him? So that servant came and reported these things to his master. And the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. Well, obviously, if you go through and you read that list directly corresponds to all of these three excuses. You know, unless we recognize our poverty in the original, in the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus talked about, unless we recognize the poor in spirit, you know, unless we recognize our poverty, you see these connections that all starting to tie together in this. These are people who are poor and maimed and lame and blind. They aren't going to, you see the blind guy buying a bunch of oxen and trying to steer them around through a field. Do you see that happening? I don't. I'm not trying to, you know, make light of it. I'm just saying I don't see that happening. I don't see them doing a lot of these activities. They aren't doing any. They aren't going to have any of these excuses. Invite them. See, this is what's exciting to me. God invites the anybodies and everybodies. Everybody who's got so much stuff that they don't have time for God. They can't even hear the invitation anymore. They're too busy for God. We talked about this recently, how it's significant and important it is in our time that we're clear. Your business dealings, are they that important that you don't have time for Jesus Christ anymore? Is your marriage that messed up that you don't have time for Jesus Christ? Is your marriage going that great that you don't have time for Jesus Christ? This is a mockery of all that God represents. Everything. It's just, it's mocking him. He gives out the invitation. And you can see now why ultimately, that is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, rejecting the love of Jesus Christ, the provision of God for all of humanity. That's the unpardonable sin. You leave the planet rejecting God, rejecting God's plan. That's the unpardonable sin. That's the thing that's irreversible. And it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how religious you are. It doesn't matter how good a person you are if you don't have Jesus Christ. I love that. He invited the lame. He invited the blind. Can't even see because sin has blinded me. He invited the anybodies and everybodies across the face of this globe, that anybody that would come to know Jesus Christ. Jesus said, oh, all who thirst, all who are hungry, all come, come. Come unto me, all ye are heavy laden, You know, all those are burdened down with the things of this life. We get so burdened down with things of this life, we don't even know we're burdened down with things of this life. We're so used to making excuses for ourselves, and we're so used to hearing excuses that we're just deaf anymore, spiritually speaking, on it. Because we're so used to this. It surrounds us. It's the world around us absolutely functions this way. Oh, may the Lord help us to see, to understand, and to know His heart in these things. Go out into the, quickly out into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor, and the maimed, and the lame, and the blind. And the servant said, Master, it is done as you've commanded, and there's still room. There's room for more. And the master said to the servant, go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come, that my house may be filled. God just wants His house filled. God just wants to share His love and celebrate with you. That's really what we do when we get together and we worship. That's really what we do when we open our Bibles and study His Word. We're just really celebrating the goodness of the Lord, how great He is. We just want to draw closer to Him. We want to know Him more intimately. For I say to you, in verse 24, that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. That first group, they were invited, but they rejected the invitation. They're too busy for God. They've got a bunch of excuses. At some point, somewhere down the line, somebody in a home has got to stand up and say, as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. Period. Somebody's got to do it. If it's the wife, do it, wife. If it's the husband, do it, husband. If it's the kids, do it, kids. Young people, do it. Stand up and say that, you know what? I'm going to services. I'm going to go get fed in the Word of God. Be counted in the Lord. These are foolish, foolish excuses that we hear all the time, day in and day out, about why we don't have time, why somebody doesn't have time for God. Isn't that a bummer? God just says, man, so does God say to us, well, you know, just don't worry about it then, you know, just hang out with yourself. He says, go find those who are all messed up. Invite them. Just go find anybody. Because God loves everybody. See, we are, they are, people are respecters of persons, but God's not. God is no respecter of persons. God has the same love in His heart for every human being on the face of this earth, no matter what their condition is otherwise. Oh, that's encouraging to me. That's exciting to me. So who should you invite to services? Who should you invite to gather together at a Bible study? Who should you invite over to share the gospel with? Who should you invite to interact with? Who should you invite to sit on the tailgate with you on the job site and have lunch with and talk with about the Lord? Who should you invite? Anybody. Everybody. Well, I don't know, man. I don't really like talking with them. They got really bad breath. I don't want to, you know. Now we got excuses, you know. Get real. God is saying, man, look, that it's just this big, big, giant banquet hall that God's inviting everybody to. Man, we want to continue to invite. The more the merrier with the Lord. That is a fact. And then He turns to the people kind of looking in on the outside, looking in, and the great multitude with Him. And He turned and said to them in verse 25, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And we say, oh, well, my goodness, that's awfully strong terms. Well, Jesus is using this by way of comparison. It's not that we literally hate our family or hate. It's by way of comparison. It's really that Jesus, our love for the Lord, would be a higher priority than a love of any other thing, anything. That our love for God, for Jesus Christ, is paramount. It is the most important thing. Everything else falls secondary to that. And again, I encourage you to just go through Wednesday night's message. And I think, again, it was just spelled out very clearly in that. And so I will not belabor that. But this is what Jesus is saying, is that anything that sets itself up above your relationship with Him should be gotten rid of, gotten out of the way. Get your thoughts adjusted, he says to the crowd. This idea of being his disciple I do not believe that this is necessarily an inference about salvation. I think it's exactly what it means, is being a disciple. A real follower, an adherent to the ways of Jesus Christ. There are many that know the Lord and have everlasting life, but have really barely begun the discipling process of really following after the Lord. So there's a difference between knowing Him as my Savior and knowing Him as my Master, my Lord. And so where that line is for people, I can't determine that. I would just suggest that you follow Him as closely as you possibly can. And you'll find, all of a sudden, you're going to find yourself being a disciple, a follower, a close follower of Jesus Christ, an adherent. You know, you're being led by a master. Basically, we're giving up our rights to ourselves and putting Him first. This is what he's saying in verse 26. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And we think about bearing the cross, and we think, oh, my allergies are just bothering me so bad, my cross to bear, you know. Wow, really. I hate to give you this adjustment, but Jesus is giving you the adjustment, so receive it from Him. I know I suffer with allergies sometimes too, but that's not a cross to bear by comparison, okay? That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about dying to self to point others to redemption. Jesus died on the cross to redeem others. That's the kind of mentality he's talking about. Self, letting it die off and letting the life of God live through you. That's specifically what he's talking about. So this other thing of, you know, I've got, and we all know, we've all got nicks and cricks and, you know, aches and pains, and I understand. But some of us do. But the reality is that's not really the cross. The cross is denial of self. Dying to self that Jesus can be revealed through your life, so that others can see God in you and not you in you. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest, after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build a tower, is not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation to ask conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Is there any real question about what he's saying? He's saying, one, you can't pay the price. You and I can't pay the price. But we have to sit down and count the cost. We have to realize that all I can do is give myself to the Lord. That's the only reasonable response I have to God's grace and mercy. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. That's your only reasonable response to how good God is and what He's done for you. It's the only reasonable thing, offering ourselves up as a living sacrifice. Live for Him. That's really the challenge. We can all say we'll die, but we've got to die to self and then let God live through us in this time, in this day, in this place. That's what God would ask of us. He says, salt is good, but if salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It's really not good for anything. It's neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill, but men throw it out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. He says, man, we've got to have that savor. We've got to have that preserving sense about who we are. And we should be those that ask the question that no one's asking, and answer the question that no one's asking, because they're all asking it. You just got to get into the mindset of what's going on around us. I think it's interesting. What a great day for us to be at a dinner setting like this. And you can kind of think through this as we're getting ready to partake of the bread and the cup today, as we're going to partake of communion, the Lord's table. We're invited to the Lord's table. I always think about Mephibosheth. And I can't say it twice or fast. But, you know, this was one of Saul's sons that was possibly hurt during a turnover of the kingdom, but was kind of in an exile. And David started asking, hey, are there any, for Jonathan's sake, you know, are there any relations left, you know, to Saul? And so he hunts down and finds the one, Mephibosheth, And so he gets him, and Mephibosheth is all messed up, man. He had his ankles didn't work and stuff. His legs, he couldn't walk. He couldn't get around. He was lame. He was a lame guy, literally speaking. But I kind of figure we're all pretty lame. And you know what? David said, you know what, man, as a type, and I think this is a great example of a type of the table and a type of Christ. He invites this guy that's lame. He can't even get to the table himself, but he shall always sit at the king's table because of the goodness and the grace of the king. You know what? God's done that for me, and God's done that for you through his son, Jesus Christ. He invites us to sit and dine at his table as we partake of the bread and the cup. And we may be lame. That's okay. What's so great about that is David made sure he had a couple of guys that were assigned to Mephibosheth so that they would pick him up and make sure he got to the table every time there was food served. Never went hungry, and he was always considered a part of the gathering and the family. Was always cared for. Man, that's what the Lord does for us, even in our lameness. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to come and take us so that we can be at the table. Oh, what a great truth to know. As we look at, did the religiosity work out? No, that didn't work out. That doesn't work for me. It doesn't work for you. This is like the anti-type of everything that should go on. You know? We shouldn't have a bunch of excuses. We don't want to have bad motive or bad manners. We want to humble ourselves. We don't want to be those that have a false perception as the one who interrupted. But we do want to be followers. We want to be disciples. We want to deny ourselves. You know, when we come to the table today, it's a good time to just kind of reflect on where we're at today in our journey with Jesus. You know, not last week, not last month, not 2 years from now where you hope to be, but where are you at today? You have an opportunity just to kind of line in with the Lord and just receive his grace, his washing and cleansing in a fresh way today by partaking of the bread and the cup. So I'm going to ask the worship team come up. I'm going to ask the guys come forward, and they're going to begin to distribute the bread and the cup. And as they distribute that, if you would, please just hang on to the elements there, and then we'll begin to discuss and pray together. And if you might, while we worship, and just contemplate some of the things that we've talked about today and ask the Lord to search your heart, that the Lord would show us, you know, how he would have us to live our lives in light of these truths.
Hi, this is Pastor Jim. Thanks for listening to the message today. You know, I was thinking about Jesus being that good shepherd. And he said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." You know, we just kind of think of that as a door that on hinges that opens and shuts. But really, at that time period, the shepherd was the door himself. He would lay across the opening, and the sheep would have to kind of cross over him and get through him to get in and out of the sheepfold. And he said, "All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." You know, Jesus was never just a hireling for you or for me. Jesus loves you with a perfect love. He gave his life for you on the cross. He wants to give you life abundant, as spoken of in the scripture here. He is the access into everlasting life. Maybe you've been distant from the Lord. You tuned in and you've gone to church before. You've opened your life at one point, but now you're just living out in the world and away from God, and you're feeling the hurt and the shame and the conviction of the sin. Well, Jesus wants to forgive you again in a fresh new way. He wants you to get started on that journey again. And maybe you're hearing this simple gospel message for the first time. And you want to give your life to Jesus. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. God loves you, and God wants to give you a chance. Just pray this simple prayer with me. Jesus, I want to ask that you would forgive me of all my sin. I want to invite you into my heart to be my personal Lord and Savior. I want to thank you for the free gift of everlasting life that you've given me now. And I thank you, Lord, for all your goodness, all your grace. And I just ask, Lord, that you would flood my heart with your Holy Spirit now, that my life might bring you honor and glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you can be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, the service times and directions can be found at calvarychapelkc.com. It's been great spending time with you today in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains. Jesus,